God who stretched the spangled heavens, infinite in time and place, flung the suns in burning radiance through the silent fields of space. Dreams prove rich with promise, each endeavor well begun. Let us sing together. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing thy great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. He speaks and listening to His voice, like the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. Amen. You may be seated. As we enter into this time of prayer together, I do want to remind you of those who have been named in our prayer list this morning, as well as others who are on our hearts, some unnamed that we are concerned about. Let's quiet ourselves before the Lord. And whatever you're needing today, let's place it into God's hands as we pray. Let's pray. Father, in these moments, as we bow our heads before You, we acknowledge Your presence in our lives. With gratitude, we give You thanks. We have no life at all without You. It is a privilege that we get to share it with You and that we get to share it in this gathered group of people and with others in our community who also love You. A privilege to know a God who loves us enough to give us life and who loves us even when we walk away, who longs for us to reconnect, to forgive us of our sin and our brokenness and restore us that we might know life in its fullness. We thank You for the opportunity to bear witness to others around us who are struggling and they do not have peace in their life, do not feel safe, seem to have no direction, and they need friends. There's no greater friend than You. We've discovered that, and we want to share Your friendship with them. We pray You'll give us confidence that we might be faithful in that. The world needs You. We pray, Lord, for the mission. We pray also, Lord, for those who are listed in the bulletin, those that are on our hearts, and we're grateful for the words of healing and successful surgeries and the restoration that people are experiencing. See in the news about strife in so many places, so much uncertainty, but we rest confident in You, confident of Your healing ability for our medical
physical needs, but confident of your healing for our hearts and our minds as well, and the ability to heal nations, the ability to heal the world, something that you put into action when you sent your Son, Jesus, and are still doing through your Holy Spirit today. And so we ask for fresh wind in our lives, fresh breath that might restore us. Spirit moving in us and through us, speaking words of love and mercy and kindness and forgiveness to those who need it around us, that we might be faithful in calling your church into existence in the lives of people who don't know what that means, who are living alone. Let it be, Lord. Let it come to pass. It's only what you've done and what you're going to do, and we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Well, as you know, we have offering plates on both sides and on the entryway. If you have not yet had a chance to give your gift, I invite you to do so after the service. But at this time, let us offer a word of gratitude to the Lord for his provision. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, and you are so generous, and you are so kind to meet every need that we have. Provide for whatever we ask, and more than enough, so that we can be a part of what it is you're doing in the world. And we ask for your blessing on each giver and each gift, that it might be used for your purposes, bring you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Let's hear the scripture reading.
Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon this earth. So God created humans in his image. I'm back on. God created humans in his image, in the image of
I'll finish it. Okay. And so God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand together. God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant and to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine and some that are yours. So let mine fall away, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name. Isn't the universe an amazing thing? I think I spoke about this in a newsletter recently, but you know, when I read the discoveries, I really like to see what's going on with the James Webb telescope and what it's finding as they look deeper and deeper into places they thought there was nothing and discover. It's not empty. Stars and planets, satellites exploring those distant places. We heard about the green comet that flew through recently. I didn't know they came in green, you know. Who knew? But you know, when I see those things, it reminds me of Psalm 8. It reminds me of a song that Abby and I sang when we were in the Circuit Rider Singers, Majesty and Glory. Psalm 8. When I gaze into the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and stars suspended in space, oh, what is man that you are mindful of him? Isn't life itself, that we exist at all, incredible? And then to think, as the psalmist says, yet you have given man a crown of glory and honor and made him just a little lower than the angels and put him in charge of all the creation. God didn't just make us, but God, who created all, that cares about each and every one of us and created all that is for our enjoyment.
that we can explore it, and then even gave us the possibility of influencing it. It's incredible. And Genesis is telling us that this God says, when God created us, that we are special above all, that we were created very good. Made in the very image of God, in the Latin, imago Dei, we've heard that phrase before. We can explore the heights and the depths and the breadth of it all. I don't pretend to understand the fullness of what that means, that we're created in the image of God, but it's a lifelong calling for us to continue understanding and exploring it, to learn who we're supposed to be. Here in Genesis chapter 1, what does it say? It's saying that human beings, we were an intentional creation of God. We didn't just happen. And the language says, all of the other parts, well, they were created because of that part that we are. And in the language itself, you know, you understand if you study English, there's passive sense and there's an active sense, and that's true here in Genesis. And up to this point, when it's talking about the creation of all of these other things, it talks about it in a very passive way. Let there be. Let there be. It doesn't say that. It doesn't sing the Beatles song. But let there be. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be sun and moon and stars, and there they were. Let there be waters separated above and below the firmament, and there was, and let there be birds of the air, and let there be fish of the sea, and let there be all these wild creatures, and they were. Let it be. But when God creates humanity, the language changes. It becomes much more active, intentional. Let us make, it says. God created us with a plan in mind. Created in God's image means we have special value. We have special place. We are God's intent, God's idea. Now, in the English translations, we miss this, but you probably already know this. There are lots and lots of different names for God. If you ever sang El Shaddai, they're sprinkled throughout. But here in the very first verses, the word, the name used for God, it's the generic form, Elohim. Sometimes it's just El. Elohim. It's a word that can be used for all of the other non-gods as well. And in the beginning parts, it uses that word. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God creates humanity, the words are active and express intent. God physically molds Adam from the dust of the ground and breathes life. And man becomes a living being. And when that happened, God's name changes in Scripture to the very intimate name, the name that God gave Moses on the mountain, the name known to Israel, Yahweh. Now, in those days, this name was so sacred that you just were not allowed, you didn't speak it. And if you look in your Bibles, anytime it says Lord in capital letters, it's referring to this name. You're not supposed to say it. See, originally the Hebrew language did not have any vowels, just consonants. And they eventually created a vowel system so that others could learn if it was becoming forgotten, they could learn how to say it. But when it came to this word, they put different vowels with it than what belonged there, so you would remind you to say something else. They were the vowels for the word Adonai, which is a word that means Lord. And so it gets translated that way in your scripture. You know it's referring to that name when it's in capital, Lord.
see that, you say, "Why?" It's incredible.
Why?
Say it with me on count of three. Breathe in. One, two, three. And out.
Why?
Isn't that powerful? No wonder when we get all anxious, what are we told to do? Take a deep breath. Let it out slowly. And you feel calm. Powerful. The psalmist declares, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Acts 17, Paul says, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who gives us life and breath, is not far from us, for in him we live and we move and we have our very being. Our connection with God is so vital that we say God's name every single time we breathe. Think about that. If we did not breathe, we wouldn't have any life at all. Our life is measured how? From the moment we take our first breath to the moment we let our last out. We try to live without God. It's like depriving ourselves of oxygen. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, God placed them in the Garden of Eden, and it was a paradise where they felt no shame at all, and they had no fear at all because they had no sin. Can you imagine? Try to imagine, if you will, living in a world where there isn't any sin. It's impossible. It's around us all the time, everywhere. But before then, was no sin. They had nothing to hide. And so they didn't even need any clothes. Nothing to be ashamed about. That's what deep connection with God is like. We have value because God created us to be people of great worth, to have great relationship, worth of relationship. But we probably wouldn't be all that comfortable living in the garden with them back then. Just like they weren't comfortable after they ate of that tree. Breaking that relationship with God. See, before that they had this pure relationship with God, and they were completely secure, and they were safe because they fully trusted God with their entire lives. They were comfortable in their own skin. Can you imagine that? Now, do you know anybody like that who is comfortable in their own skin? You probably know people. They don't really worry about what anybody else thinks about them because they're secure in their relationship with God. God defines them. We all feel like that sometimes, but not always, because we know ourselves. We know, you and I, we know our sin. Scripture says, he who believes they have no sin deludes themselves. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every last one. I risk. There's probably a sinner in this room right now. I said, confession's good for the soul. They were not concerned about where they stood with God. They knew where they stood with God. God was standing right there with them. But after they ate, shame and fear controlled them. When we're in good standing with God, we feel much more confident about ourselves. It's easy to be around people who feel at ease with themselves, isn't it? They aren't so needy. They tend to be more generous. They don't need other people to make them feel good about themselves all the time. They don't need to belittle anybody else. else around them to try to boost their sense of self. And those kind of people, when you're around them, they are a breath of fresh air. But most of us feel insecure sometimes. In Genesis 2, we're very good, but everything changes in Genesis 3 after eating from that tree. They rebelled against God. They wanted to be on equal standing with God, to be their own God, and suddenly they're not feeling so secure anymore. They hid from the only one who was capable of ever helping them feel safe again. What happens when people lose their self-worth? Well, we feel shame. And we hide. And a lot of times the people who decide not to show up for church don't come. Because that sense of shame, that awareness, of where they are in life, and that fear that God couldn't forgive them, that God couldn't love them. It's sad, isn't it? Genesis isn't just this cute little story about how the world was made way back. It's a story about who we are right now. Who we're created to be. We were created to find our worth in God, but God, because that relationship with God was broken, we look for our affirmation in all of the wrong places. How much of what we do, how much of what we don't do is driven by the fear of what other people around us are thinking or would think? Once I was watching one of the morning news shows, and they were interviewing two men who were over the age of 50 who had just started, brand new, their own businesses. And in the course of the interview, they asked that obvious question, why in the world did you wait until you were 50 and older to start your business? And one of them, who was a baker, said, well, I was afraid nobody really would like my cookies. And so he made cookies, he gave them away. Finally, somebody said, to go into business. You could sell these things. He did. But he was concerned about what everybody would think. Why is it that people go on the TV show, The Shark Tank? Anybody like to watch The Shark Tank? Anybody, I love to watch The Shark Tank. All these innovative ideas, things people are doing. Things that are so useful, some of them that seem so useful. Yeah, why didn't I think of that? I could have made some money. But they thought of it, and they go on the show. Why are they going on there? They want to go, they get the affirmation of people who are successful business people, billionaires. They want that affirmation and maybe a little money to support them in developing their business. And the good ones, they make a deal. Thing is, if they're not very confident about their own selves when they make that presentation, and if it's a good one, the sharks will buy that business right out from under them, leaving them walk out the door with a small amount of money for the moment while they take it and go make millions on it. They're looking for affirmation, but it comes with a price. We tend to be driven by what other people think. So if we're looking for our worth from our own success, you might end up working yourself to death and miss out on the joy of life. Ever met, though, an old friend, and only have them only find out that they're just quite impressive people. And they tell you all about it. You don't get a word in because they're busy telling you about, oh, man, I've been busy. Let me tell you. Oh, it's like they're waiting around for you to tell them, wow, you really are awesome, aren't you? Care to be around people like that too often, do we? Now, we were all created to find our sense of identity in God. Our separation, though, from God causes us to look everywhere else. Some people look for their self-worth in their stuff, their house, their car, their elaborate hobbies, all kinds of things. But they don't seem very happy in life. And the commercials that advertise stuff try to convince us to look everywhere else besides God to find our sense of completion. You just really cannot live without this. You really cannot. It slices, it dices, it'll drive your car for you. I mean, you've got to have this. Their entire game is tempting us to believe we need something other than God. It's one reason why a few years ago that the economy crashed. Why did it crash? Because people who believed they absolutely had to have something, but they didn't have the money to pay for it, took out expensive loans to buy it, and then couldn't pay off the loans. It's about looking for our self-worth in anything but God. Addiction does the same thing. People trying to deal with their fear and their shame with a false sense of security, and it captures them. Only God can give us what we need. It's the human condition. That's what we call it. That's what Genesis shows us, our struggle to find value, and we look the wrong places. Scripture calls that idolatry, worshiping the wrong things. In ancient days, idols, they were made out of something that was of value, something that they really wanted in their life. Maybe made out of gold. But an idol is really anything that we look to for self-worth that is not God. In our world, it's full of idols. But what do we get in return if we give ourselves to these things? Isaiah says it. Chapter 45, verse 20, ignorant are those that carry about idols of wood and other things, who pray to gods that cannot save. Psalm 46, 12, I will praise you, the Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name. Glory. It's about honoring the things that we hold significant. And we know about this. I mean, our sports teams win something, and we have a parade for them. And we go out and we celebrate. We're giving them glory. And it's a good thing to encourage all of those students and the development of the gifts that God has given them. But what Scripture is saying, we need to give the highest glory to God. But then we think about it. Oh, man, what could I do if I actually won that $1 billion lottery? Man, I could do some good things. Man, wonder what God has in mind when I win that. Is that idolatry? Well, maybe. It depends on how much money you actually spend on that, thinking you're going to be the one. Probably not going to be the one. Some people look to other people to fill the role. And now, we are all created in the image of God, but I'm not God, you're not God, none of us is God. We can't be God for each other. No individual can meet your deepest needs other than God and Jesus Christ. And so if you let others treat how they treat you determine how you feel about yourself, it's a form of idolatry. Eventually, it leads to a sense of shame and brokenness and disillusionment. Because none of us are ever going to meet that standard. You cannot save you. No one else can save you. But it's easy to look for others' things to do it. So how do we find ourselves again? Well, we have to catch our breath. We need to remember that it is in God alone that we live and we move and we have our being. In fact, that's what that name means. Yahweh, I am. I am existence. I am life itself. Linger in relationship with me. It's a daily thing to remind ourselves of who we really are. We remember when we do that, make room for God. That's our source of life. And that's when we'll find peace. And that's where we're going to find security. That's my question for you today. Are you experiencing that kind of peace and contentment and security today in all of the midst of the chaos that we see every day? You see the news, and it just puts you in shock. What do you need to do? Step back. Father, we praise you and we adore you and we give you the glory and we give you the